And we've been looking at this chapter in recent weeks. We're coming today to the words of the verses 7 to 9. Proverbs 30 and the verse 7. Two things have I required of thee, deny me them not before I die. Remove far from me vanity and lies. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me, lest I be full and deny thee, and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal, and take the name of my God in vain. And we know the Lord will again bless the reading of his precious word. And we'll seek the Lord's face together, please, in prayer. Let us look to the Lord for his help, please. Our gracious Father, we thank thee for that leading and guiding of the Lord upon his people. And we thank thee for the assurance that the Lord supplies every need of his children. And Lord, we cry to thee that thou wilt supply our need for this time. We confess our need of the help of the Holy Spirit of God. Take thy living word, we pray, and seal it to every waiting heart. O Lord, seal thy word to every soul. Give help to a preacher and to hearer. In our Lord's name we ask. Amen. Amen. If we had conducted a survey on the way in today and asked the question of each one coming into the meeting, what famous prayers can you think of in the Bible? I'm sure many of you would have said the Lord's Prayer, the pattern prayer of Matthew chapter 6. Some of you might have talked about Abraham's prayer concerning the sparing of Lot, the prayer concerning Sodom. You might have talked about some of Paul's prayers in the epistles, or Hannah's prayer for a son, or even Mary's song of praise, her prayer after she heard that news that she was to conceive our Lord Jesus Christ. I don't think many would have listed the prayer of Agur in Proverbs chapter 30. It is perhaps one of the less well-known prayers of the Scripture. As I've mentioned before, there's a lot of mystery around who this man, Agur, who is the one that's speaking the words of wisdom, are Agur's in this particular chapter. Who is this man, Agur? Some consider that he was an ancient, perhaps even way back as far as the time of Job. And while there's mystery over who Agur is, there's also mystery over these two men that he is addressing in the verse 1, Ithiel and Ucal. But evidently, the words of this great man were recorded. Their wisdom was acknowledged. And so the words form something of an appendix, along with other words, at the end of the book of Proverbs. Now, in this prayer, Agur lays out two great prayer requests. And so, as we have seen in previous weeks, Agur was talking about God's revelation, that God has manifested himself in creation, but then God has revealed the message of redemption in the pure words of the Bible. But since we have the Bible, we are then to pray. Since we have the Bible and we have been brought the great message of redemption through Christ, we are enabled to pray. We are enabled to draw nigh. So remember, Agur spoke of the greatness of God. And so we have that in the verse 4, the great majesty of God. Which one of us
Did God ask us for advice?
In relation to creation, not one. And yet this great God of majesty is to be approached. And as I've said, Eger comes with two great prayer requests. Now that might strike you as somewhat unusual. And maybe you're thinking, only two. Maybe as you think of your prayer list, there are many requests there, many more than two. And so maybe we're saying to Eger, why did you not have more than two prayer requests? I think we have in these two requests a summary of many prayer requests of Eger. And really, there is a way in which we could consider these two requests as embracing, encompassing all that we have in the Lord's Prayer from Matthew chapter 6. And so the first request of Eger really embraces the request in the Lord's Prayer, "Hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." And then the second prayer request of Eger encompasses, "Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." And so though there are two requests here, I suggest they are a summary form. And so many requests come under this pattern, as it were, that Eger is laying out. But maybe there's another way in which you've thought these prayer requests of Eger are unusual. Maybe you're somewhat disappointed by what Eger actually prays. And so, as we come to these words, there's a huge build-up, isn't there? "Two things have I required of thee. Deny me them not before I die." Number one, remove far from me vanity and lies. And maybe you're thinking, that wasn't number one on my list. And then number two, "Give me neither poverty nor riches." And again, maybe you're thinking, that's not second on my list of prayer requests. But I trust as we go through the message, you'll see that we're not to be disappointed in these two requests of Eger. Before we come into the message itself, a few other introductory comments that I would like to make. I want to emphasize that short prayers are not useless prayers. Short prayers are not useless prayers. You think of how short this prayer actually is. Really, verse 7 is just an introduction to the requests. And then the requests are given in their entirety, along with actually the reason for the request, the second request, in two verses of Scripture, verses 8 and 9. And so short, pithy prayers are often effectual prayers. And so maybe you feel, I can't pray as long as that other Christian in the congregation. Well, don't despise short prayers. But then also, specific prayers are blessed of the Lord. These requests are not vague. "Remove far from me vanity and lies. Give me neither poverty nor riches." Sometimes we pray so vaguely that we wouldn't even know if our prayers had been answered. But Eger is laying out very specific requests here. And we ought to strive after that. Let us get to the point. What is it that we're actually asking for? Short prayers, specific prayers. I've also called this studied prayer, considered prayer, in the sense that surely Edgar, as he prays these words,
it's not what we might call spontaneous. Now, there is certainly a place for spontaneous prayer.
As you encounter various difficulties, it's right that you just cry out unto the Lord in that moment for the Lord to help. But I think we can all agree that Edgar had taken some time to think this through. What are my chief prayer requests? And as he had taken time to consider it, then he comes and he says to the Lord, two things have I required of thee, deny me them not before I die. And then he goes on to list what he has been thinking about. And so, while there is a place, a very important place in our lives for spontaneous prayer, we ought in our times of quiet time and reflection, our times of meditation, to think, what is it today that I'm actually going to pray for? What is it that I'm going to bring before God's throne of grace? Short prayer, specific prayer, studied prayer, and then this is sincere prayer. In the Authorized Version, it's translated here in verse 7, two things have I required of thee. And those of you that have the Westminster Bible will see that the word required is actually the Hebrew word for asked. Two things have I asked of the Lord. And so we might ask the question, why did the translators then use this stronger word, require, demand? Because the latter part of the verse shows it, where he says, deny me them not, don't withhold me. And so this is sincere. There's a real yearning in the heart of Edgar. Give me this. It's not in that sense a gentle request. He is saying, I demand this of thee. And of course, he's speaking there in a very reverent way, but in a very sincere way. This is from the depths of my heart. But we'll come then to Edgar's two prayer requests. And I want to see that the first one is a prayer about proximity and distance. A prayer about proximity and distance. Verse 8, remove far from me vanity and lies. And here Edgar is praying, put these two things, vanity and lies, at a distance from me. Sometimes these words, far off, remove far off from me, are translated a good way off. And so the idea here is, put a distance between me and this vanity and lies that I'm thinking about. This term, remove far from, was used in Exodus chapter 33, that time when, following the golden calf incident, the tabernacle was taken, that is, the place of prayer for the actual tabernacle wasn't erected yet. But Exodus 33, verse 7, Moses took the tabernacle and pitched it without or outside the camp, far off from the camp. And Moses' place of prayer then was taken. And it was taken away from the rest of the camp. Why was that? It was to signify that on account of sin, there was a distance between the people and God. That is what sin and idolatry had done. And so here Edgar has this recognition that sin, idolatry, would put me at a distance from my God. And so he's crying to God, remove not thyself from me, but rather put vanity and lies at a distance from me. So there is here this desire for distance, but implied then is a desire for proximity. I want lies and vanity at a distance, that I might know the Lord's nearness, that I might know the Lord's presence, that I might know fellowship with God. And if we are to use New Testament language then in reading what Agur is saying, really he is saying, I need a mediator to bring me near to God. I need the vanity and lies put away. I need a mediator. I need to be brought nigh. Now, if we think for a few moments about these two words then, vanity and lies. First of all, vanity. The word vanity has to do with uselessness. It has to do with meaningless. It has to do with futility. And so Agur is praying, deliver me from a wasted life. Deliver me from living a life of meaninglessness. Deliver me from wasting the years the Lord gives me here. Now, in light of what follows, it's evident that Agur does not believe that being the richest man in a community is success. Agur does not mean that having all of the wealth of this world will bring meaning to life. In fact, he's saying the very opposite is true. That you can have all of that and it's vanity. It's meaningless. It's futile. That word vanity is also used in the third commandment. Take not the Lord's name in vain. And so in effect, he is also praying here, deliver me from false worship. May I have close communion with God. Vanity. But then he also talks about lies, which obviously is the very opposite of truth. Deliver me from untruth. Bring me into truth. And a vanity then has to do with false worship. Surely lies has to do with a wrong walk. Bring me into a right walk with God. Give me a life that would witness for God. Really, Agur's chief request then, his first request, is equivalent to what we have in Matthew chapter 6, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Now I remember the Lord was talking there in Matthew chapter 6 of clothing, of food, shelter. All of those things are important in life. We need them. But they are not our chief need. Seek first the kingdom. Seek first the kingdom of the Lord. When I was taking Mr. Mercer around at the beginning of last week, we ended up in a few graveyards. That's a habit of mine. If I ever end up as your tour guide, you'll probably end up in a graveyard. But Mr. Mercer made this comment. This is where it all ends. From an earthly perspective. This is where it ends. And if your family have enough money or you've made provision beforehand, maybe there'll be a name and a date and a plaque. And that's how you're remembered. From an earthly perspective, that's what's left behind. And in the end, what will you have accomplished? Yes, maybe you'll have met all of your earthly ambitions. Maybe you'll have reached academic success or success in business. Maybe you'll have had great holidays, saw some wonderful things or great sporting achievements. But if that's all, It's futile. It's meaningless. And Agur prays, deliver me from that. May I have reality. Let me know a walk with God. And so there is here surely an evangelical, a gospel aspect to this. Deliver me from the lies of hell. Deliver me from thinking there is no eternity. Deliver me from mental or practical atheism. Deliver me from thinking that it's only material things that are to be enjoyed. Spurgeon spoke of the ungodly rushing to pleasure in things that are temporal. And we see that all around us every day. But Spurgeon said, I do not blame them. What else do they have to enjoy? And so for those that reject the gospel of Jesus Christ, what else can they enjoy? Only material things. A nice meal, holidays, sport. But the request here is, deliver me from the lies that lie behind that, that this is all there is. Bring me to see that there is an eternity. Bring me to see that there is a hell to evade, that there is hope in the gospel of Jesus Christ. There is then a life to be enjoyed with God on earth, and an eternity to be enjoyed with Christ in heaven. Bring me to repentance and faith. And thereby then there's not only an evangelical aspect to this, but the manner of life. Let me walk with God. C.T. Studd in his 70th year wrote a letter to his grandchildren. C.T. Studd was a famous missionary. And many older people might give advice to their grandchildren. What great advice he wrote to his grandchildren. My loving advice, he said, is summed up in a few lines, which I want you to learn by heart. Only one life. 'Twill soon be past. Only what's done for Jesus will last. The greatest joy anyone can have on earth is to walk with Jesus. And this is what it means to be a Christian, that you must love Jesus more than even your own life or family, if you will follow him. Only those who walk with God on earth will live with Jesus in heaven. And so then we can ask the question today, is this first prayer request of Agur your prayer request? Remove far from me vanity and lies. A prayer about proximity and distance. But then I want to see, secondly, that Agur's second request was a prayer about provision and dependence. A prayer about provision and dependence. And so he says in verse 8, towards the middle of the verse, give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me. That is, give me my daily allowance, lest I be full and deny thee and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and take the name of my God in vain. And deliver me from extreme poverty. And deliver me from exceeding riches. Let me have, as it were, a middle road. Now, there is a relationship between the first request of Agur and the second. As I've suggested, the first prayer request has to do with a close walk with God. The second request has to do with the removal of those things that would be a hindrance to that desire, including the removal of temptation.
And so again, as I mentioned earlier, there is a relationship to the Lord's Prayer. Give us this day our daily bread. Give me my daily allowance. And also, lead us not into temptation. Deliver me from the temptation associated with either extreme poverty or extreme riches. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And so there is a great danger in riches and in wealth. There's a snare in wealth. One of the men in the prayer time earlier referred to this, that we live in a society that has great wealth. We live in a very affluent society. And what have many done? What are the majority doing? Verse 9. They are full, and they deny the Lord. They say, who is the Lord? They say, I have money in the bank. I live in a beautiful home. I have a good health insurance plan. Maybe they even say I have a good funeral plan. They say I'm full. What need have I of this Lord? And they would even point the finger at Christians and they say they need a crutch to lean on. And we do need a crutch to lean on. But they say, I have no such need. I am full. I have plenty. Paul said to Timothy in 1 Timothy 6:17, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. And there are so many around us and they put their trust in riches. Those riches are uncertain. And certainly they're completely undependable as far as eternity is concerned. They won't make one iota of difference as far as entrance into glory is concerned. Remember how Jesus warned of the dangers of riches? It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. Now, the Lord Jesus went on to explain the mystery of that statement, that with God all things are possible. The Lord is able to save rich men. And yet it remains absolutely true that riches are a snare. So many, they are tempted on account of riches. This is not only something the ungodly have to be warned about, but it's a danger among professed Christians. In Revelation chapter 3, Revelation chapter 3 and in the verse 17, Revelation 3 and the verse 17, written to the church at Laodicea, where they made these great statements about themselves. Verse 17, because thou sayest, I am rich and increase with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. You think you have everything. And there could be a danger that because God's people have money in the bank, that they think, well, there's no need for me to be in the prayer meeting. There's no need for me to get involved in outreach. There's no need for me to give my heart and give myself wholeheartedly to the work of God. I am rich and increased with goods. The Lord says,
you're wretched and miserable, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire. Come back to the gospel of Jesus Christ. There's danger in riches, but then Eger also identifies there's danger associated with poverty. Give me neither poverty nor riches. At the end of verse 9, lest I be poor and steal and take the name of my God in vain.
And so Eger recognizes that extreme poverty carries with it dangers as well. That I would be tempted to steal. I would be tempted to use deceit in order to have money, even to the extent where I could take the Lord's name in vain.
Poverty has temptations associated with it as well. And so Eger recognized that different stations in life carry different temptations. And this is not just true in the contrast between riches and poverty.
Surely it's also true in the contrast between being very intelligent and greatly lacking in intelligence.
It's true in different occupations. Each particular occupation might have a different set of temptations associated with it. John the Baptist recognized that. If you look at this later in Luke chapter 3, verses 12 to 14, there were different groups of people came and asked John the Baptist questions in light of John's challenge to them to repent.
Now, the message was the same to everybody. You must repent. And yet, in these specific examples, the answer that he gave to tax collectors, to publicans, was different than the answer that he gave to soldiers.
Different stations carry different temptations. And so Eger prays then, Lord, give me my daily provision.
Let me be reliant, as it were, upon my savings. And I'm not speaking against savings.
But let me always live in this sense of I need to depend upon the Lord. And so then, surely we're to live with this sense. As we read earlier in Philippians chapter 4, God has a great supply. And so Eger prays, feed me with food convenient. Philippians 4:19, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory. And so Eger can pray then, give me out of thy great treasury. Not only what I need financially and materially, but all that I need spiritually. All that I need in order to persevere in my Christian life, supply. God is faithful. Give me food convenient. Do not leave me in a state of continual hunger. He recognizes the faithfulness of God. But then he also recognizes, surely here in light of that, he is to be content. Philippians 4:11, I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. And that's something that so many lack today. But Eger's prayer request really suggested,
let me be content in whatever state I find myself in. But then equally, I'm always to be on my guard.
Every day I'm to be watching for dangers. For dangers in wealth. even danger in times when we have very little. Danger when we think we're right on a particular matter. Danger when we confess that we don't understand a particular matter or situation. We're to be on our guard. But praise God, as Agar prayed this prayer, remove far from me vanity and lies. Give me neither poverty nor riches. The great answer in this request is Christ Himself. May He be my all in all. May through Him I be drawn close to God. May through Him I be delivered from vanity and lies. May even through Him I live day by day with my dependence upon Him. Maybe there's one in the meeting as we come to a close. You've never come to Christ. Before this meeting, you have never prayed, remove far from me vanity and lies. For you have been trusting in the lies of the devil. You have been making your confidence, you have been making your focus earthly things. May the Lord humble you today. And may this be your prayer. May you run to Christ for mercy. We trust the Lord will take His holy word and write it upon all of our hearts. Amen. We're going to turn in closing, please, and we're going to sing the words of the hymn 461. 461. That actually wasn't, 461, right. I am not skilled to understand what God hath willed, what God hath planned. I only know at His right hand stands one to be my Saviour. 461 will stand as we sing, please.
I am not skilled to understand what God hath willed, what God hath planned. Stands one who is my Savior. Christ died for sinners, this I rate, and in my heart I find a need. Savior, that He should leave His place on high and come for sinful man to die. So once did I, before I knew my Savior. And though that He fulfilled may see the travail of, and with His work contented be, I with my dear Savior. Yea, living, dying, let me bring my strength, my solace from this spring, that He who lives to be my King once died to be my Savior.
Our gracious Father, we thank Thee for our Lord Jesus Christ. There are many things in this life that we do not understand. But Lord, we thank Thee for the one that takes us by the hand, for the one that leads us, the one that guides us. And, O Lord, we pray that each one of us will be delivered from vanity and lies, and that we might be enabled continually to live to thine honour and glory. Now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.